Ministries of Alexandria, Louisiana, located at 4521 Lee Street Extension. Thank you for listening, and if you want a copy of this message, or if you want to support this ministry with a tax-deductible contribution, write us at Post Office Box 5791, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Again, that's Post Office Box 5791, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. And if you need prayer, call us at 318-715-8920. 318-715-8920. Be blessed of the Lord, for God is still on the throne.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, so thankful again are we for this blessed opportunity you've afforded us. Now, Lord, as we come to this hour of studying your word, we pray that your spirit will meet us in the text. And though, God, we have read this text before, we pray that he will give us new understanding, that he will give to us new revelation. And so we thank you and we praise you for what you shall reveal to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I'm revisiting a text we taught under the unction of the Holy Ghost, because we can never, ever exhaust this subject, nor our decision to operate in this subject, and it's entitled Deciding to Love Divinely. Deciding to love divinely. Making a choice. It is of my own volition or my own will that I love divinely. It ain't no feeling. Ain't no emotions caught up in this. It's a choice. You may not deserve it, but because I desire to make a decision to will to, you receive the divine love of God from me. And so how many of us know in this place today that there are just some people we have to decide to love divinely?
Amen.
And some of them are family members. Related to us, close to us, work with us, you know, have business dealings with us, go to the same church with us. I want us to know that it's something that, again, that we must take upon ourselves to deal with as it relates to us understanding, again, this issue. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you don't mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I want to just begin to walk through some of this, beginning at verse 1. The word says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not this word charity, again, for those of you who are new to the study of the word, means love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Verse 2 says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Now, verse 1 says, I am as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, which means I make a whole lot of noise, and that's about it. That's the end result. But then just because I have the ability in verse 2 to walk in the spiritual realm, because I've been gifted to do that, and here again, this just goes to show you that everybody who has God's anointing upon their lives to do spiritual work doesn't necessarily mean that they choose to walk in divine love. Paul is making this clear. You've got some folk who are gifted as, I mean, any man or woman can be, and do not operate in divine love. So again, it's a choice. I mean, it is a choice, and that's what we've got to be clear. But notice what he says at the end of that verse. He says, I am nothing, not my gifts. So you got to separate the man from the ministry. Okay, my ministry may be awesome, but as a person, I can be awful. And you got to know the difference. You can't, you cannot stand the man, but still has everything the man needs. You know, need everything from the man, in other words. Your need still of supply. You come here and say, I can't stand him, but oh, he preached that word to me. He teached that word to me. You know, because here's the truth of the matter. I mean, again, you, I'm not here for you to have a personal relationship with. Amen. I'm not here to be your friend. Amen. I mean, when you go to the restaurant, you don't have to be friends with the manager to eat the food. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. You go to buy a car, you ain't got to sit down and we got a good thing going. I mean, we all right. This is my partner, my pal, my friend. There ain't got to be none of that. I'm coming here to buy a car. Amen. That's the purpose of coming here. I cannot like the dealership or the person in the dealership, but if it's that car and it's the only dealership in town and I don't want to go out of town to get, then I just go there, do my business, and go on, go. Amen. Am I talking to anybody understanding me here? So be clear about that, because again, if you don't decide to love divinely, then you miss out on a balanced reality in what God desires you to walk in as a believer. So again, look at what verse 3 says. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profited me nothing. Now, in verse 1, it says what we are not means we're not sound, sound in terms of substance, but we make sounds as if we had substance. Okay? And then verse 2 says, if we don't love, we are nothing. And then verse 3 says, if we don't love, we profit nothing. Now notice, we are in all of the verses. It is a divine choice, and it is connected, listen at this, to you. To you. Divine love is a choice you make, not the person that you decide to love. Divinely so, if I desire to love you divinely, you can't do nothing about it. I'm going to say that again. If I choose to love you divinely, you can't do nothing about it. Because you know what you need to realize? Loving you divinely is not a choice you make. It's a choice I make. It does not have to be reciprocal. It does not have to be reciprocated. The choice was based on a solo decision. It is what I chose to do, not in conjunction to, not in response to, not because of, but it is even in spite of you, I chose to divinely love you. Amen. Now, why is this important to understand? Because it is the position God took concerning us. In spite of us. How many of us can honestly say that we deserve God's love? Thank you for not lying. And so because we don't deserve God's love, nor does many times the persons we choose to divinely love deserve our love. So keep in mind, it is something that is abstract in terms of many folks' comprehension of divine love. They have a concept of it from God, but not from themselves to one another as God desires us to in the natural realm. But the truth of the matter is it's an absolute love. And the only way that you can divinely love someone is to absolutely love them in spite of them. And so we're going to learn it's not connected with this love that the world calls love, because that ain't really. Now look again, before we go into the description of some of this love, I want you to see what it says in two other versions as I move quickly through. In the New International Version, verse 1 through 3 says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Now let's look again in the Message Bible and see what it says. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. Now look at what verse 4 says in the Message Bible. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Now is that pretty plain and simple there? That is about as plain as it gets in understanding that. Now look again, if we will. The word says in verse 4, charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Love, charity, envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love, charity, never faileth. Now we want to stop there and pause there, if you will, because there are some things I've shared before that I want to share again with us. In the English word, we only have one word for love. As I've shared with you, we use it to express our love for our cars, favorite foods, pets, spouses, and children. However, in Greek, the original language of the New Testament, there are four words for love. Four words for love. If you have paper and pen or pencil, I want you to jot these down again, because these will be helpful in you understanding these words and how they play out in Scripture. Because when you understand the word love in this context, it will help you to decide and decipher what kind of love is actually being operated in. First word is eros. That refers to sensual or physical attraction. It is the word from which we get our English word erotic. This is man and woman love, eros. Now, this is a word, again, that is used generally as it relates to the human experience of love, the one that we most times fantasize about, the one that is so elusive to the human experience for most of us, because we can literally translate this word in most of our experiences not as real love, but lust. Lust. You know, because when you see a person, there is some connection there in the mind before there is ever one in the heart. And most times that connection is to the physical. Because you don't know, you can't love a person till you know a person.
Amen.
You might like the way they look, how they're shaped, what they appear to be, but you don't love them until you know them. In eros, eros. And so most of us don't even experience eros love. This is, again, that love that is meant between a husband and a wife. And it is a, again, love between man and woman. Most of us do not even experience that kind of love to the fullest. It is, again, mostly lust than anything. That's one of the reasons why it doesn't last.
Amen. Amen.
Listen at the next word. It's filio. Filio. This word is described as the love between brothers and sisters. We get our English word Philadelphia, which means brotherly love. From this word, it is often translated friend in the New Testament. So this is a word, again, that plays itself out in these arenas, usually siblings and friendship. When it is commonly used in this arena, filio is the love that it refers to. All right. Usually, again, when it's talking about relationships between platonic friends and or even friendship that goes even within the confines of family to another level. You can be family related and still not be friends. So this kind of love is another level even within family confines or binds. All right, and the next love is storge or storge, whichever you prefer to use it. This love, again, is the more exclusive family love. It usually referred to parents loving their children and having a kind of godly love over them. This one is one of the ones that is not most known to folk, because again, this love here takes on a different love between brother and sister love, because this one here mimics to a degree the kind of love that God has in a sense for his children. But of course, this is in the earthly sense, so it's a different kind of love. This is a love for parents and the special love that they have for their offspring or those that they have adopted into their family. It's a love there that differs from the other loves that we've already expressed as well. And then the last love is agape, which is sacrificial love that will give all for the one loved, the God kind of love. It's the kind of love that God gave to this world through Jesus Christ. He gave all that he had because he loved us with this holistic, total love. It is a sacrificial love. The God kind of love is a love that is a sacrificial love that loves in spite of, not because of. Don't love you because you're kind, because you're beautiful, because you say the right things, because you're good, because, no, this is not that kind of love. This is the kind of love, even when you don't love yourself, I still love you. Even when you don't deserve my love, I still love you. Even though it means I have to sacrifice because of you, I still do it because it's that kind of love. It is a sacrificial love for the one I love. This is the God kind of love that we are commanded to walk in. This is the highest kind of love demonstrated. Now, there's a question connected with this love here that I want to ask. And it says, do you know which of these you need in a good marriage? Huh? How many say all? Let me see you raise your hand. Okay, those who didn't raise their hand, what loves do you think you need? All right. All right, I'm going to show you which one you need. You need all four of them. Because anyone that's absent, unless, of course, storge would be the only one that would be absent if you are married and don't have children. That would be the only one that would be the exception to that. And then, of course, if you are, again, operating, if you don't have children, then your children can't operate in filio. Because that's the sibling love. Yeah. But if you're talking about you in a family structure, then you need all four of them.
Amen. Now let's go back to the scripture, because I want you to see some things, and let's look at it, what the word says again. The New International Version says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, as we walk through these words again and these glimpses of what agape love really is and a great picture of this truth of love, you've got to understand that in the context of our subject and our theme today, deciding to love divinely, it's important for you to understand that everything you see in Scripture here that you are supposed to do as relates to your brother and sister in Christ, if you divinely decide to love them, is understanding that every portion and part of this love has already been demonstrated toward you from God.
Amen.
In other words, you are already experiencing from God what God wants you to show to somebody else.
Amen.
And when you say, well, I can't love like this, then the truth of the matter is, it is not that you cannot love like this, it is that you choose not to love like this. Because God never expects you to do what's not already been done to or for you.
Amen.
You have experienced this kind of love already. Let's walk back through again. I like the NIV version because it's clear here, and we're going to go to the Message Bible version and show you again. But let's look again at it. It says, love is patient. Let me ask you a question. Has God been patient with you?
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
All right. Love is kind. Has God been kind to anybody here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It does not envy. Does God envy anybody in here?
No.
It does not boast. Does God boast here? His love. Mm-mm. Because Muhammad Ali said to Howard Cosell, when he said, Muhammad, you sure brag a lot. You boast a lot. Muhammad said, it's not bragging or boasting if you can back it up. So God don't brag and boast because he can back up everything he said. All right. It is not proud. Is it proud? Is God's love proud? Not in the sense that it is derogatory. No, not at all. All right. It is not rude. Is God's love rude? No, not at all. It is not self-seeking. Is God's love self-seeking? No, because if it were, we would not be here now, and we would not be a part of the divine plan of God to include us in his love. All right. It is not easily angered. Is God's love easily angered towards you?
No,
Psalm 30:5 reveals to us that it is not the case.
Amen.
Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And all of that is because God loves us so much that in his favor is life. His anger lasts, but only a moment.
Yeah.
If it lasted any longer, you couldn't stand it.
Amen.
Listen at this. Well, let me stop there for a moment, because his love is not easily angered. And then when it is angered, it doesn't last but a moment. Some of us can pause right there. Matter of fact, we can park and get out the car right there on that one. Because some of us, when we get mad, easily, and we stay mad for minutes, hours, days, weeks,
come on,
months.
Yeah.
Now you know some folk that's been, you know, so angered for so long, they've been mad for so long, they don't even know why they're mad.
Yeah.
They done forgot why they're mad. Well, what you mad for? What you still pounding for? They just stuck in that mold. All right, let's get out, get back in the car and go on drive a little far. Here's the next one. It keeps no record of wrongs. Let's park the car again. Matter of fact, let's get out the car, take the keys, and throw them away, because we got a list. Oh, no, because on July 5th, on such and such, you did such and such, and on, you know, and young, come on, don't act all holier than that. Okay, maybe it's not written down in your own paper, but in your mind and in your heart. No, this ain't the first time you die. Why can I can't, you, how you know that? Because I'm trying to help somebody. Because let me help you understand something. When you keep record, when you keep record, you keep fresh in your mind and fresh in your recordings, the things, or refresh yourself, and you make yourself mad all over again. Going back down your list, keeping that little list. See, somebody talk about, and again, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Well, you only doing half of it. If you're doing half of it, you're not doing any of it. Because God makes clear when he forgives, he cancels out the record. God says, and he has enough sense, and we need to have some like him. Enough. If I'm going to forgive you, that's for your benefit. But if I'm going to forgive you, then that's only part of the process. In order for me to get beyond what I've forgiven, then I need to forget, because that's my benefit. Because if I don't forget what I've forgiven you of, I'm going to bring it back up again. And even though you've gotten your release from me, I'm still tied to and still angry about the stuff I did not choose to forget. So I'm going around here with a chip on my shoulder. You happy? And I'm like, what you happy about? This is the day that the Lord had made? I'm going to rejoice. Well, you can't rejoice because you still holding on to stuff that happened yesterday. You know, if you forgive somebody, don't try and keep them in anguish and keep them down and keep them in a place where you want to make them, you know, hurt some more. You hurt me this much. Your hurt was only this much. I forgive you, but I'm going to keep on. I ain't going to forget this until you done hurt that much. Then I'm going to let this thing go. But choose to know this. When you only forgive and don't forget, when you keep a record of it, you hurt yourself more than you hurt the person that you've got the record against. Okay, look at this. I want you to see again. It not only not keeps a record of wrong, but love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love doesn't participate. You know, people come there with some bad stuff, some bad news, or talking about somebody. Love don't rejoice in evil. It ain't nothing for me to delight in a brother or sister falling, or some evil thing happening to a brother or sister in Christ. That ain't nothing. Matter of fact, if I hear it, then my position is to pray for it.
Amen.
You know, but you got the haters who are looking for folk to fall, looking for something to be wrong, looking for that, and they rejoice. See, I told you that. I told you that. And the Bible makes clear that a good man will fall seven times. So what? I fail. I'm getting up again. I mean, you got to understand, you don't have the power to keep nobody down. So when you rejoice in that thing there, you got to know the story ain't over. And then what you rejoice in about them, the same thing is going to happen back to. But look again at what the word says. It rejoices with the truth. It, verse 7 says, God's love, it always protects. Is there a witness about God's love protecting them?
Amen.
All right, listen to this. It always trusts. See, God trusts you, whether you know it or not.
Amen.
I mean, even when you just got through today, this morning, asking him to forgive you, last night asking you him to forgive you, he trusts today that you're going to do better.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
The fact that he erased your record for yesterday when you asked him to, he then trusts that you're going to do better today. He keeps on trusting every day in you that even though you miss it, you're going to get up and you're going to finally get it right, because God has invested in you and he loves you that kind of way. Always hopes. Devil comes there and accuse you before him, brings up real charges. The advocate Jesus, who is before God on our behalf, says, God, yes, the devil is right. She did do that. He did do that. But I paid for that. And in my paying for whatever they have done, as they have asked forgiveness for that, those sins are remitted. They're taken away from them. And the hope is that they will catch on and learn from their mistake and do better. And even if they fall, they won't stay down long as long. And if they fall again, they won't fall as quick. And only the hope is that every time